You're listening to the sermon audio from Vertical Church Triad, a vertical church in Jamestown, North Carolina. For more info on our service times and location, visit us at www.verticalchurchtriad.org. You are loved.
In August 2014, my wife and I put our home up for sale, and we moved our family from North Carolina to Chicago to learn how to plant a vertically centered, mission-focused local church for Christ. And on October 4th, 2015, we launched Vertical Church. We had a core group of 39 adults, 15 students, and 9 children. And the dream from the very beginning has been to be a church planting church for the cause of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So with that command in mind, our leaders announced to our church family in August of 2019 the goal to plant 50 churches by the year 2045, with 25 of those churches being global. At the time of that announcement, we had no idea how this would be possible due to two things: our church size and our conviction that church planting ought to be indigenous, meaning we believe that churches are best planted and served by natives of a particular country or region. And amazingly, in God's providence, just 2 months after our announcement, we were exposed to the Six Degree Initiative. We heard that there was a small group of American missionaries in Togo, West Africa, raising up national leaders for the purpose of church planting. And I couldn't believe their model. Similar to the first century church, I heard that J.J. Alderman and his team were equipping national Togolese church leaders to establish and lead the church in Togo. We also heard that the Six Degree Initiative was looking to partner with churches like ours to be a part of a consortium of churches where each church would provide funds for church planting, people for mission trips and internships, and support through leadership training and prayer. Although it checked all our boxes for what we believe it best looks like to plant international churches, I was a little bit skeptical. So in March of 2021, I flew to Togo, and what I saw firsthand exceeded my expectations. JJ's vision was coming to fruition, and we immediately wanted to be a part of it. Since March of 2021, we've been able to send a summer intern to Togo. We've been able to be a part of the prayer calls where we're able to hear what is going on in Togo and then pray. We've partnered through financial support so that the Way of Christ Church, which is a church plant, could have a brick and mortar building. And in March of 2023, we're going to be taking our first team from our church to Togo to help finish up this construction project. If you and your church are looking for a strategic gospel partnership that will reach the ends of the earth in an impactful way, I want to encourage you to explore the Six Degree Initiative. You are loved.
All right, so that video was a video I did for a missions conference in Denver. There were about 1,500 people that attended the conference, and really the purpose of that video was to expose a large number of churches to the Six Degree Initiative that, as you just picked up on, that we are supporting. The Six Degree Initiative, the reason for the name is the location is in Togo, West Africa, 6 degrees from the equator. And as you know, this past weekend, this past week, did I do that or did you guys do that? You did that. So whenever you see me do this, just advance it, because clearly this isn't working. This past week, a group of us had the awesome opportunity for the first time in our church's history to take a team mission trip. And what we are going to do is I've asked each of the guys who are a part of the trip, and we did open this up to the church and for ladies, but for some reason, it was man week. But I've asked each of the guys to come up and just share how maybe God worked, what they saw, and how they might be able to celebrate with you. So at this time, the first man up is Daniel McCray, and he's going to talk about the Togo culture.
First of all, the 6 degree initiative, 6 degrees from the equator, should be called the 96 degree initiative. because it is hot in Togo. So when Matt first approached me a long time ago about going to Togo, I've never even heard of Togo. I didn't know Togo was a country. I didn't know anything about West Africa. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about Togo and a little bit about the culture. It is a very, very small country in West Africa, wedged between Ghana and Benin, I think is how you pronounce it, which is right beside Nigeria. Its capital city is called Lomé, which is one of the main cargo ports for all of West Africa. The metro area, Lomé, including the area right around it, has approximately 2 million people. The whole country has 8 million people. The IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, ranks Togo as the 10th poorest country in the world. So in Lomé, where we landed, there are a lot of government buildings that look like Western-style buildings that we would see. There are some shops and stores that look like Western-type things that we would see. But for the most part, what you see there is what you see on the screen. There, it's poor. And when I say poor, nothing looks like it's finished. Okay, so this is a great example. The building with the stairs on it, you can't really see it in this, but the steps that are up top are actually not connected to anything at the bottom. Nothing is ever finished. Go to the next. For two reasons, they don't trust banks. So anybody who has any extra money, yeah, y'all are laughing back there. We don't trust banks either, what's going on in California right now. But anytime they have any extra money, they just invest it back into their homes. And so nothing is ever finished. And the second part of that is, not only is nothing finished, they don't have to pay taxes until you actually finish a building. So nobody ever finishes anything. 98% of the buildings, the property that we saw, looked like what you saw on the screen before. Most of commerce is done on the streets. So as we're riding down the road, we took a lot of pictures of things just on the side of the road. This is, I think, rice that's being sold. There's also a shot of what I would call an auto parts store. So hubcaps, anything you wanted to buy, anything you wanted to see, was sold on the side of the road. If you want some new furniture.
It's working.
You're hitting a lot of buttons.
It's working.
There we go.
I got it.
You could buy couches on the side of the road. Go to the next one. Furniture, doors, refrigerators, anything that you wanted to buy, it was always sold on the side of the road. So the infrastructure is awful. There's one kind of main road called National Highway that goes through the center of Togo, but if you get off of that road, and it's, believe me, it's under construction. I think it's always going to be under construction too. But as soon as you get off, everything's a dirt road. So any village, any town, anywhere you go, it's all sand. When I say dirt, it looks like red clay, but it's basically sand. Sand roads are everywhere. The power grid is extremely unstable. So when we got there over the first weekend, the power would blip on and off. Think about Wi-Fi and things that we have that we like. Every time the power goes off, the Wi-Fi router resets itself. So we're all trying to be who we are and check stuff at home. And fortunately, the people we stayed with had a generator so they could kick it on and we had more consistent power. But you're constantly dealing with power struggles of many, many types. Power struggles. Yeah, the light poles, one of the things that we thought was kind of neat, these concrete barricades that you see, look at the poles behind it. This is what's holding up the majority of the power system there. So they'd go cut a tree down, skin a limb up, tie an electric wire to it with some fabric, and now you got power. I would imagine a lot of it's stolen. Trash everywhere. There's a lot that we rode by on the side of the streets. Everywhere you go, it's just dirty, hot and dirty. It's a great place to be. But look, the reason that we went to Togo is not because it's a poor country, but the reason we went there is because it's a lost country. It's a very, very dark place that has a rich history in slave trading and in voodoo. We had the opportunity one day to go to a slave house where after slavery was outlawed in the early 1800s, there was about a 25-year period where this place was a black market for slaves. They would actually bring slaves in. When I say they, there would be warring factions of tribes there that would fight each other, kidnap each other, and then sell other Africans into the slave trade. And so they bring them to this house, and then they would stick them underneath in this, what would be a crawl space to us. So they would put 150 human beings in this really, really tight space and just pack them in. And they would stay anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks while they were waiting on the next ship to come so that they could sell off humans into slavery. And so this is part of the culture, the underlying culture that is throughout Togo. The second part of it is voodoo. It's a very spiritual country. The problem is it's spiritual on the wrong side. So they grew up in a culture of voodoo. There are witch doctors, like real live witch doctors performing voodoo rituals. This is an example of what I would call as a pot with a bunch of stuff hanging on it. But, you know, they do rituals, you know, on this idol. And so as we ride down the road going to church on Sunday, there were multiple places on the side of the road where there are idols that they worship. So on the way back from church, we actually saw a voodoo ritual going on. We saw some witch doctors and a group of people. We actually kind of had to stop and drive around them, and they were doing something in the road, which I couldn't figure out what it really was. But we saw voodoo rituals going on while we were there. Josh Freeman, who is the leader of the Six Degree Initiative, he spoke to us about regularly seeing demon-possessed people. So he told us a story. This little, you know, 6-7-year-old girl walks up to him one day and just this really, really dark, deep, you know, adult voice asked him, like, why are you here?
In English.
In English. Oh, yeah. And they either speak an African dialect or French. And so in English said, why are you here? And he said, to spread the word of Jesus. And the little girl ran off. So he also told me that they have had voodoo rituals done in front of their house. So they'll wake up in the morning and they'll see the signs of it. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, they're trying to curse us or they're trying to scare us away. We don't really know, but it's a real live thing to them. So I would love to sit up here and talk all day and tell you a lot more about the culture and what goes on there. Trust me, I could do this for an hour. There's a whole bunch more to say. For the first time ever, Matt said that there's this little clicker back there in the back that keeps the time going, and we're actually going to stick to it.
And here's what's
awesome. We're actually going to stick to it.
Here's what's awesome. You actually had 5 minutes, and you're on 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And this guy gave me so much grief about how long I preach, and man, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You just went over. All right, well, we'll see you later.
So you guys have to cut it short. Do it for them.
Thanks, man. Good job. Hey, can we thank Daniel? Next up is Casey Ray. There's Casey. And I've asked Casey, or I guess the guys kind of established what they're going to talk about, but Casey's going to talk a little bit more in particular about the Six Degree Initiative.
All right, I must say, yeah, these lights are bright up here. All right, so like Daniel said, voodoo is huge in Togo, and that is the reason why Six Degree Initiative planted and is coming to Togo, is because this is really the darkest spiritual part, one of the darkest spiritual parts of the world. And I mean, and they're coming in here to really bring light to these people. I mean, they're stuck. It's just the way it is. It's the way of life. And their ministry is so powerful that it's been amazing watching how they're working and what they're doing. And one of the things, they've got 5 current projects going on right now. And those projects are the church planting, both in Togo and in Benin. They've got a Togo Palms camp that they're setting up. They've also got a project out, what they call the Deaf Project, to help reach the deaf with the gospel. Because over there, if you're deaf or you've got some sort of physical disability, you're looked.
You're considered cursed.
Yes, thank you. So that's something that they're bringing hope to people who have none. Also, the vocational training is huge to help bring them out of poverty. But so with their church planning, it's a really unique approach. Like Matt said in the video, they're raising up young leaders to drive forward the initiative. I mean, it's kind of like Paul raising up a Timothy is one of the ways they described it. And they're going to be taking not only that, they're raising up disciples, they're doing the vocational training. And as the individuals accept the gospel, you know, then they are discipled to be true Christ followers, because with the hold the voodoo has on people, they'll go to church just to appease another god, to try to bring them more, you know, greater things, just to appeasing another god. So because of this, attending a church does not mean that they're following Christ. So with that, they've got to be careful on, you know, they're really looking at who they're bringing up as leaders. Are they truly a Christ follower? And from there, as they progress, they'll get those leaders going in, you know, teaching youth, worship, maybe even doing some other teaching throughout. And then they bring another select group up to really start learning how to do church planting. So, and with that, the new leaders who go out and church plant, they identify new leaders within their church. They bring them up, and then they'll turn around and send them out to go plant another church, raise up new leaders out of that church, and then go out and plant, and just keep the cycle going. So that way the church, it's reproducing itself throughout. One of the cool things is right now, Sixth Degree, they know they have about 29 plus church plants right now. And the reason for the plus is because some of these churches are what we consider home churches, and they're out and they are in remote places, and they may not hear about them for quite some time. So right now they know they have 29 of them. Let's see. All right, so one of the things, and like Matt said, partnering with churches like us to help build churches. The two pictures you see out there is actually of the buildings and the site that our church helped provided the funds for. So the name of this church is the Way of Life Church, or sorry, not the Way of Life. Got the wrong note.
Christ.
The Way of Christ Church. And you can see kind of on the, I think it's your right, yeah, the right side of that picture, the unfinished building, which was the building we were supposed to go finish. And all it needs now is a roof.
We did a great job.
Yeah. We did an awesome job. Just don't ask about the bricks we built. And then, but it just needs a roof, right? And Daniel talked about their culture, and there's a holdup right now with the culture on the social aspect of things. And once that's complete, they'll be able to finish this building.
It'll probably be complete in the next month, hopefully.
Yeah. So, and also in the background, you can see a couple of what I would say temporary structures is right now underneath, you know, thatch roofs where they're currently housing church and the youth ministry. And it was awesome going there and listening to those guys just singing praise, listening to the kids, the teaching that went on. And Matt won his time frame that he was supposed to preach.
They didn't think I could do it.
Yeah, well. He looked at his time and he said, amen.
Hey, listen,
it's complete.
Listen, we got a bunch of gamblers in this church. They were betting on the over-under on how long I would preach. I said, here's the deal. When I'm on someone else's turf, I abide by the time clock. But when I'm on my home turf, I do what I want.
So yeah, next picture. Now, this is the key right there. That's their church bus. So that's pulling kids in from other villages. And, you know, that right there is the next group of leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the ones that are going to see, I hope to see, Togo changed. I mean, that really is going to be the next set of leaders. And then that next picture, I just threw this in here. This was the very first church plant. This one is the one called the Way of Life Church. And we attended service there a couple times, and it was just, it was great listening to the questions. I mean, they had opened it up for questions, and the people would actually respond and have questions back to their...
Are you listening to this?
I'm trying to help you out on this one.
Thank you, Casey.
So it really was. It was great listening to that. So Sixth Degree will say that their initiative is like a scaffolding. They're there to help build a process. They're there to support kind of get that infrastructure. And once that building's complete, they're gone. I mean, their idea is once the leaders are trained up and they're training each other and this thing is continually going, the missionaries will step out. They're actually hoping to do that within 10 to 15 years, work themselves out of a job. And that is what is really cool, and I know why Matt saw these guys and partnering with them. And that is really what we need to get behind. It's just unique, and nobody ever wants to work themselves out of a job, but they are trying. And really, the other thing is they want to be self-supporting with their vocational school. They're trying to get it so they don't need outside help, and they're there. But really, in the end, with this structure in place, and once the missionaries are gone, I would say in 30 years, with this continuing, we will see a totally different Togo. I mean, they will change their country, and it will be awesome to see. So, and I'm glad we could be a part of that and be able to go and help. And I can't wait to see other trips and just see over the years how things change.
Great stuff. Hey, can we thank Casey? Casey, you went 9 minutes. These guys were nervous. I'm not even going to do that. You're stealing my time. You're cutting into my time now. All right, who's up next? Houghton? All right. Well, so we went 7, 9. I guess you're going to go 11? Is that what's going on here? You guys are trying to work me out of a job.
All right, I will say that I never thought my high school French would come in so useful this late in my life.
This is Panama Jack. Whenever you travel internationally, you want to bring Dan Houghton with you, just so you know.
So some of these guys did speak a little bit of English, but really we kind of thrived on what I could resurrect from the deep depths of my mind from 30-some years ago when I did this in high school. But do you want to meet the Timothys? So... Let me get through this. Thursday night before we left, Josh invited each of the young men in the program to join us for dinner. They each shared their testimonies of how they came to the faith, how God is working in their lives, and they talked about their dreams as far as like their vocation, growing their vacation, their business ownership, and about planning their churches. You know, these guys are in their 20s, most of them. And they have some incredible, incredible challenges in their lives. We gave them words of encouragement. You know, they gave us specific prayer requests and asked us to, you know, how we can pray for them as they follow God's call. And we'll have a specific list if you want it for your small group. So, gosh. All right, I'll stand up. Be easier for me. Okay, on the end. And they're written by Dave there. That's Jean. Jean is, he was orphaned very young. He was raised by his village as kind of a collective child. His aunt and uncle came and found him when he was in his teens, and then he was raised by them in a voodoo family. He came to Christ through the New Life Church. He was invited to a service. He came to it. He heard the message, and he accepted Jesus. Jean has already planted a church. So he's himself, he's got one church already. He is an HVAC technician in a country that seems to have no air conditioning. But he's building his business to support, his goal is to support the church that he's planted, and he's already planning for his second church. Oh gosh. He asks us, like, he wants to pray for, hey, pray for my spiritual growth, for church, for God to give him discernment, to get more love for God's work. A guy who's already planted a church and is using his company to fund it wants more love for God's work. And he asked us to pray for his future wife. So next is the youngest guy we met in the kind of like the blue striped shirt with the pattern there. That's Juil. Juil's actually 19. This kid grew up in the Anahoe region, which is the voodoo capital of the sea god. He grew up in a family that would go to Catholic Mass on Sunday morning and then sacrifice to their idol when they got back home afterwards. They add Jesus to their idols if they're not educated properly. And that's one of the big struggles the missionaries have. He also became a convert to Christianity through New Life Church. He was invited to a service. His eyes were opened. He understood the difference between living in darkness and living in the light. And he is, you know, we talked to this kid. He's looking for mentoring. He's looking for direction for his career. He wants to grow as a leader. He talked about a couple of different career fields he would thought about getting into, but God just is not opening doors for him. So his prayer for the next 5 years is that he would have a path open to him. He would have a mentor. He would have a direction to grow and to become a career, you know, get a career so that he can become a positive influencer in his career, in his career, his culture. Okay, so between Casey and Matt, that is Ali. Ali and his younger brother come from the north of Togo. They came down, I believe it was part of JJ, brought those guys down. Ali is trained as a linguist. This kid speaks French, German, English, the northern tribal dialect of Kabia, and the southern tribal dialect of Awe. He is he's training to plant a church as part of the Timothy Initiative. His big dream is to translate the French language Bible into the Awe language.
We're going to get behind that, by the way. I mean, don't miss what he just said. That's a big deal. He wants the written word of God in a language for the people. That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you didn't see part of the service. I don't know what I'm talking about. When we were at the Way of Christ, Matt would say something. The missionaries would translate it into French, and then Pastor Etienne would have to translate it into Awe. Most of the people in these villages don't speak French. They speak their tribal dialect. So a French Bible is useless. Ali's prayer, he wants to grow in his relationship with Jesus. He wants to see God's will manifested, and he's trying to become a full-time translator as a job. Maxwell, with the anchor, the Newport shirt, we didn't work with Maxwell directly, so we didn't get to know him as well. He was the only one in this group who's married. His wife is a Coco. He has a 5-year-old son. He is part of the Timothy Initiative as well. He came from, you know, like these other guys, he comes from a voodoo family. He came to church. He heard the truth, and he accepted Jesus. He is, again, one of the full-time, he's training full-time to be a church planner. And then Charles, who's kind of hidden there behind, he's the last of the interns that we met. He, again, comes from a family of idols and voodoo worship. He became, like these other guys, he was invited to church. He is actually a part of the Way of Christ Church, the church that Casey had the picture of. That's where he serves, as that smaller church in the countryside. He uses, you know, he's an electrician. He uses his vehicle to bring people to church and to support the missions. His vehicle was, he was getting cement bags for us and filling up water tanks and other things. So he's using his gasoline to support the church ministry and what the missionaries are doing.
And can I just stop you for a second? And they live off of about $2 a day. So think about the sacrifice right there and how much they love Christ and they want to build something for the kingdom of God and to reach their people. Like, they're living on $2 a day, and he's using, he's paying gas for the gas and using what the limited amount of funds that he has to promote the gospel.
You have to imagine a hybrid between a motorcycle and a short bed pickup truck. And they're everywhere, and we all have pictures of them, and you won't believe it until you see it, but that's what these guys use. But he's training. These guys are all working to plant their own churches. His big prayer is for protection, you know, for God to show him his will, and he prays for the salvation of his mother, Tasivi. Now, the last guy on the end there is Jean. This guy called him Diesel, since we had two Jeans. So on the construction project, Diesel is a machine with a wheelbarrow. This guy moved more concrete than the rest of us. And he is Ailey's younger brother, so they both came down. He is newly involved in the church, only about 2 months, so he's not actively in the church building program yet. They're still feeling him out, and he's still growing in his faith. But, you know, he's not a church planner yet, but he is, you know, his prayer requests are health for his family. He wants to see more of God. He wants to learn how to become a humble servant, and I'm sure he'll be following his brother's footsteps before too long. But, yeah.
Great. Hey, can we thank Dan the man? I'm being serious when I say Dan. Well, I'm going to invite Dan to be my personal assistant on every mission trip from here on out, because he truly is Panama Jack. So if you go to a foreign country, you might want to bring that guy along. This time, Eric Erb, come on up. Eric's going to talk about the Vocational Training Center. which is very strategic and important when it comes to church planting.
Well, hey, church family, I just want to thank you for letting me talk and letting Matt let me talk, because you, as you can see with this group of guys, it's just hard to get a word in around them. So hey, I'm just, hey. This is my venting process this morning for this long trip.
And here's what I'm most concerned about. I said 5 minutes per guy. Every guy has gone over by at least 3 minutes. Actually, Daniel, of all people, has been the shortest. And this guy talks the most. So I'm nervous. No, go. It's going to be great.
Don't be nervous. So I kind of come from trades work. I do an array of things in the trades world, in the trades world for the last probably 20 years. So, you know, I kind of have high expectations with this A team we have here. And, you know, so my expectation for what we were going to accomplish looks something like this picture right here is what I was kind of anticipating. Is like, man, we're going to build a building. Like, Matt didn't quite know what we were going to build, but I was like, man, we're going to foundation the whole thing. We're going to put this thing up. But in the reality, I was used to modern day tools. And so this is kind of what we accomplished. And yeah, so we did a little bit more than that, but that was kind of they're a tough crowd, man. I'm not going to lie. I thought that would have got them going.
Welcome to my world.
I thought it would have got them going. But yeah, so their like main vision and mission in the vocation center is to teach the trades. So number one, they want to bring people to Christ first, then to help them church plant and to better serve their church, they want to learn a trade. So just like they were saying with the $2 a day, the reality is that these guys' mission to learn a trade is so they have the financial resources to go do the mission. And so they want to better serve the church. A lot of the pastors, that's their livelihood. So the trade supplements that, because until the church is kind of established, I mean, they're not getting like a tithe of great value. So besides the fact that they want to train them to plant another church, they just want to train up people within the church that will have a trade, which brings their resources up, which helps sustain the church for a long period of time.
So every guy's going to be bivocational. That's important to remember.
So the other fascinating thing to me is that, you know, they learn the they go to a church plant, get saved, then they have the desire to plant a church, then they learn a trade to help support that, and then they just want to go back out and plant another church. And it's like this recurring cycle of motivation for them to continue, and it just, that process keeps starting over and over and over. And so one of the things that really stuck out to me and just me personally is just, I feel like we have it so backwards in the West, is that we strive to have this vocation that supports what we want to do in life, and then ministry second. And we expect that these pastors and youth leaders and whatever, that they're the ones on the mission, and we're just coming alongside of them. And I was greatly convicted. It's just our mission is to reach the world, take titles out of it. And so because of that, the trade is secondary to them. That's just the means to do the mission. And I feel like we're flip-flopped. We have our mission, and then what we have extra or left, we take care of what that is. You know, somebody already mentioned the $2 a day. As hard as these guys work, and I can relate to them, $2 a day ain't much. You know, McDonald's coffee will get you right there real quick. And they do that day in, day out. And when I say hard work, you saw how small those guys were. I mean, they were taking 110-pound bag of concrete, throwing it on their head, and walking down the street balancing it. And even worse, there were ladies that were doing that as well. So it's a little embarrassing, but I struggled with a 110-pound bag of concrete. So some of the things that they're trying to teach them is beyond trades. Just some of it's just new skills of how to do things. Like, we introduced them to a plumb bob. They were holding the string with a level on top of it, trying to balance it to see if it was somewhat level. I'm not sure they're real concerned about it being level. Another thing is business development skills, new ways to do things, even down to marketing. And so the picture I first showed you, we don't have to go back, or you can, That's actually going to be like the guest house for people to come in from the trades. And so that's kind of behind the actual vocational center, so it'll be real close. And so they want to bring people in to teach them new things, new skills, new, I mean, I wouldn't say we taught them how to use the cement mixer, but they were struggling how to use that thing. It was new to them.
It's the first day they had it.
Yeah. And like what they use for buckets and mixtures and shovels, like we introduced them to a hand truck. I mean, they're trying to pick up 35-gallon buckets of water, rolling it instead of a hand truck. So just you have to think that they don't have a lot of problem-solving skills and whatnot. So just teaching those things. Some of the trades, you know, electrician, HVAC, plumber, masonry, those are kind of their top four, but there'll be other things. They don't use a whole lot of wood, and it's partly because there's not many trees, or they're palm trees and stuff. And so and wood's very, very expensive. And so they'll rely on teams to come in and kind of teach some of those new skills. Some of the stuff that we did, besides those 25 bricks and 10 of them were bad, we helped them with the slab. I think that's a corner of it right there where Matt, you know, he left his mark. The slab was much bigger than that, but they don't understand the concept of like foundation and a bed of rock and all that. And the technique was there, but some of the parts of those slabs were like 12 inches thick, all by wheelbarrow, all by hand. And so it was very, very hard work. We tried to help them make bricks, but I feel like it was probably more comical relief. Whoever had a phone was filming us doing it and all laughing. So we're not sure what they were saying. Only Dan knows, and he will not share it with us. So, and he was laughing with them, just want you all to know that. We were able to fix a couple doors in their guest house just for just ease of life for them that they could barely open. We did, we helped move some stuff, and I wrote this down this morning. I thought, how ironic that the team from the West comes in and uses our best skill of packing up junk from a storage building and moving it to another. I mean, we're all pretty good at that because we have too much stuff.
That it? No, man, you were the guy that talked the most all week long. You have the best time so far. So well done. Great job.
The under and over.
Yeah, the under and over. You get that 20 bucks back from Daniel. All right, next up is Dave Stevens. He's going to talk about the 6-degree team and the boots on the ground, and then I'll wrap it up.
All right, so as Matt said, I'll have the privilege of talking about the team on the ground. Currently, the team is led by Josh and Ashley Freeman. They have one other full-time couple, James and Jenna Roberts, and they have two full-time single missionary ladies, Stephanie Alderman and Aslan McCarthy.
No That's relation. A great name.
No
great
relation name. To our McCarthys.
Man, is she sharp, though. Wow.
So James and Jenna are in language school for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and their main focus is putting on village camps. James and Jenna actually came from Snowbird Camp right here in North Carolina. That's where our kids go to youth camp and where our men's conference keynote speaker this year is from. James had worked at Snowbird for 5 years before going to Togo.
James and Jenna are the couple in the back in the picture.
They'll eventually be directing a 25-acre camp campsite that's about 2 hours away by car, but actually only about 15 minutes away by boat. They're planning to have a boat that they'll be able to just shuttle back and forth from the main area over to the campground. They hope to be out of language school in the next 6 months, which will allow them to be fully engaged in building out the camp ministry. Stephanie is J.J. Alderman's sister. He was the founder of 6 Degrees. She's the one in the orange top there in the picture. She actually grew up in northern Togo as a missionary's kid and is fluent in the French language and some of the tribal languages. Since she grew up in the culture, she can relate very well with the locals, and she really has a heart for reaching the children and the ladies with the gospel. Her main focus is the children's and ladies' ministries, but she also assists in the 6-degree leadership development program, which is really, really key and central to the development of the of the interns there. Aslan is a newer partner. She's the one across from Stephanie there in kind of the turquoise top. Aslan's primary focus is on the deaf community. In Togo, there are as many as 85,000 deaf people. If you're deaf in Africa, you're pretty much shunned, and you have very little support from the family or from the local community. You have very little ability to even provide for yourself. There's very little organized deaf culture like you might see here in America. And Aslan's ministry provides the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ as well as teaching them communication skills within their community. Josh directs the program, and his wife Ashley assists him and works with the team. Ashley was a very gracious host to us as she prepared wonderful meals every night, and she interpreted the Wednesday night service for us when we went to one of their local churches. And I do have to say, after riding along with vehicles with each of the missionaries throughout the area, it's crazy the way people drive over there. I mean, it truly is crazy. You're kind of hanging on for dear life as you're going through the roads. But we all took a vote. We decided that Ashley was the best driver of the crew.
Girl power.
Yeah. We told her husband, Josh, that. He didn't believe us, but she was definitely the best driver of the group. We got to witness Josh interact and direct his team of interns on many occasions. And you have to understand, Josh is kind of new in the role as director. He's young. He was kind of thrust into this new leadership role before he really had planned to be in that role. But man, he's a strong leader. He has embraced this new role, and he seems to be well prepared to lead this team and to move their mission forward. Every morning, Josh meets and prays with the young men that are part of the vocational training program. He challenges them to grow in their roles as leaders in their communities and in their churches and their families, and he helps prepare them to plant a church of their own. He serves as a mentor to these young men. He helps guide them as they navigate the difficult paths of learning a trade, marketing their skills, and making intelligent life choices, and all that while preparing to plant a church in their Togolese community. They need several key people to join their team. This is where we as a church family can partner with them through prayer. First of all, they need a director for their vocational training center. This person would play a key role in making sure each of their training programs stays on track. A larger training center is currently being built. You saw some pictures there. That was one of the things that we were able to help with while we were there. They also need a church planting trainer. That is what Josh was before he became the director. He was their church planting trainer. So they need someone to backfill that role. They also need several new team leaders, interns, support staff on the ground who will commit to stay on the field for short and long-term commitments. Things like a two-year residency program, summer interns, gap year interns, and of course, long-term commitments. This trip had a big impact on me. I'm excited about our church's involvement in training leaders in Togo. These leaders will help break the cycle of generational poverty and spiritual bankruptcy. Sorry. These leaders will spread hope for a future, both vocationally and spiritually. This is an exciting initiative, and I'm really thankful.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, can we thank Dave? Yeah, super excited about what God is doing in Togo at this time. Turn your attention to the screen.
Here is the piece of property that our church family was able to purchase for the Sixth Degree Initiative. And this is the location of the Way of Christ Church. Pastor Etienne, you can hear the children in the background worshiping. all the people that you see right here have become followers of Jesus within the last 2 years. It's a very remote area. We've probably traveled from the house. We're probably about an hour and a half from the place where we stay. But this little village off the main road is about 6 miles in. And the fact that someone actually located this place was through a funeral. He shared the gospel, and they asked him to come back because they want to hear more gospel. What an encouragement it is for us to know that Jesus is alive. And the work of the gospel is going forward in hearts and in lives. And it's because of people like you on the other side of the world and your faithfulness and getting behind the mission enables more people to hear the gospel. Listen to those voices. Praise God. And I'm super excited about what he's doing here and how we're going to be able to do more of it in the future through Vertical Church.
All right, so I know there was a wind problem there, but yeah, that's the church that we're planting, and hopefully in the next month, month and a half, the construction will be complete. Let me introduce you to you really quickly the pastor of the Way of Christ Church. The pastor is Pastor Etienne, and hopefully that's a name that you'll write down and that you'll remember. Pastor Etienne, he's the pastor of the Way of Christ Church. And if you couldn't quite hear me in that video, how he got there is he went to a funeral with a friend in a remote village. And basically, while he was there, he shared the gospel. These are village people. They've never heard the gospel. This is a really remote area. Like, they were just driving us through Africa. And when we finally arrived, these are people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he's at this funeral sharing the gospel, they're like, can you come back and tell us more? That's how that church was planted. And so Pastor Etienne, so you know, he's a product of the church planting initiative of the Six Degree Initiative. He is a bivocational pastor. Basically, he owns several properties and he farms out those properties. He was attending this church. That's the New Life Church. They're kind of like the mothership that where everything started. They would have the nicest campus. It will always probably be the largest church. It's in a strategic location. But that's where the planters are trained through the Timothy Initiative. The original pastor, this is a really cool story. This is how God works. The original pastor of that church was a guy by the name of Pastor Jonas, an incredible leader. Strong leader, able to communicate both to the tribal people and to the more city-type people. And the Lord unexpectedly took him home in 2020. I was there in March 2021, and there was great concern, like, who's going to be the Tongolese leader of the church? And the Lord has been so gracious. And this next picture, this is Pastor Alex. And the Lord has just, in 2 years... has really just, the Holy Spirit has empowered Alex in a way that the team couldn't even predict. They had high hopes for Alex, but he was following a very strong leader in Pastor Jonas. And it reminds me of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When you're committed to the discipleship process, what did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You will receive what? Power. And the Lord has empowered him, the Holy Spirit has empowered him in a unique way to do what maybe humanly speaking we wouldn't have expected from him. Also, what I love about this Way of Life Church is they are discipling every person in the church to be disciple-making disciples. And this is a picture of the kids' ministry wall. And I don't know if you can see it very well, but basically what the kids do is every Sunday they come back and they have an opportunity to add a leaf to that tree. And what the leaf signifies is that they witnessed to someone that week. These are children. These are 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old children. How convicting is that? What would our tree look like here at Vertical Church if we had a tree and each week we added a leaf for the people that we witnessed to that week? I posed that question to myself as I was on this trip. And I think that's something that we all need to ask ourselves. What would our tree look like? God's doing miraculous things because there's power in the Word of God. Hopeless people can take refuge in the truth of God's Word. And so I was just convicted to be more intentional with my witness. And what was really cool, our guys, when we were traveling back to, we came in Friday night, stayed overnight in Newark, and we had to get up really early yesterday morning at 2:30 to catch our flight back home, which was delayed, and we finally got home at 2:30 in the afternoon. But point being is, as we were getting on a shuttle bus, we had an opportunity to kind of share with the couple who was actually going to Newark Airport to head on vacation just what we were doing. And we encouraged them to check out our live stream service, and we got to briefly share the gospel with them. But back to what's going on. This is how the next generation is really being planted. They're raising up church planters at a very young age to be faithful in their witness. And in the report that Dan the Man gave, not one of these guys, is over 25 years old. And they're being trained to be church planters because at a very young age, they're just discipling these kids. And each of them will go to remote places like the place where we are to plant a church. And, I'm super excited about this trip. It's been a reminder to what I desire our church family to be and what we must never lose sight of. Which is the mission. You know, God has done some awesome things here at Vertical in the last 7 years. We've seen people obviously saved and baptized and people recommit their life to Christ. And we've seen marriages restored. And we've had the opportunity to minister to hurting families in our community. But I'm just so thankful for this church and our heartbeat for missions. So I was doing the math just this morning. And in the last year and a half, get this, think about the size of our church. We're like 220 people. And in the last 18 months, we have sent $70,000 out for church planting. That's a lot of money for a church our size. $15,000 has gone to Vintage Mission. That's who we're partnering with in the South American continent. $26,000 has gone out to Iran with our church planting efforts in Iran, and we have 6 house churches that have been planted in Iran. $25,000 went out to Togo to construct that building. And of course, Iran's Middle East, Vintage South America, Togo Africa. And we have sent $4,500 to Jeremy Dager from Mercy Hill Church, who is planting in a very hard part of North America, what people consider to be the most lost part of North America. And I just want to thank you. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus makes a promise, and he says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And I think it's really cool that we have an opportunity to further the church, both locally and globally. And I believe that what we've witnessed these last 7 years is just the beginning. I want more. I want more. I'm not going to lie. And so really quickly, let's open up God's word. Let's just be reminded of the commission. Can we? Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This is not anything new. You've heard a sermon like this before. Matthew chapter 28, and we're not going to be long. But Jesus, he gives us the commission. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. Check it out on the screen. It says, "Go therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, my big idea for this passage of scripture, it's simple. It's simple. Commit to Christ's command. That's the big idea. You guys can go, yeah, perfect. Commit to Christ's command. And there's really 3 commitments of every Christ follower that we see in this passage. And this is something that we must continually remind ourselves of as Christ followers. First commitment is this: I have a command I must obey. We have a command that we must obey. Verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Make disciples is the main verb in the central command of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Basically, that verb is calling for a specific definite, decisive choice. And Matthew is basically saying, do this now at once, once for all, in one quick action. And it does, listen, when we read this passage, church family, it doesn't matter if you feel called to make disciples and if you feel called to be missional. We're commanded to do it. We aren't to dream about doing it. We aren't to talk about doing it. We aren't even really being called to pray about it. Jesus is like, just do it. Just do it. Make disciples. And this is a command for all of us. Listen, we live where we live. We work where we work. We drink coffee where we drink coffee. All for the purpose of making disciples. So commitment number one. I have a command I must obey. Commitment number two. I have instructions I must follow. I have instructions that I must follow. You know, we were in Africa, obviously, this week, and Ashley, we had really good food. I want to know, guys, we have to reconvene, and I want to know who lost weight and who gained weight, because I gained 2.5 pounds on the trip. I mean, she just kept feeding us, man. She kept feeding and feeding and feeding us. And but what's interesting is she has this KitchenAid mixer. How many of you have like that really nice KitchenAid mixer, you know? And so her KitchenAid mixer went out, and some of the guys on the trip overpromised and undelivered and said that they would fix her KitchenAid mixer, and they didn't. But at least we gave her the YouTube instructions on how to fix her KitchenAid mixer. That came from me, by the way. I'm like, you can learn it on YouTube. And sure enough, she fixed it. But here's the point. What are instructions? What are instructions? Instructions are detailed information that tell us how something should be done, how something should be operated, how something should be assembled. And Ashley, she followed the instructions, and she fixed her KitchenAid mixer. Now listen, here's the connection. In Matthew chapter 28, Christ provides us the instructions on how to make a quality disciple. And we can't lose sight of this. Here are the instructions. Instruction number one, this is for us. We got to follow these instructions. Number one, we should be on point two right now on the screen, is we must step out. We must go. We must go. Go looks like a command. It's not the command. It's a participle. A participle is a form of a verb that's used to indicate a past or present action. They typically end in ing, and so really we should add ing to that word go, and really it's this idea of we are to be going and making disciples of all nations. In your going out tomorrow, you are to be making disciples. You are to step out and make disciples. Listen, the mission means movement. That's what the mission means. The mission means movement. You need to be in your going, making disciples. We don't wait around for lost people to come to us. That's Christ's point right here. We don't wait. This week, when you go to work, you are going. This week, when you're at the gym, that is your going. Now, certainly for some of us, our going might be internationally. That would be awesome. We will get behind it. But the point is, all of us are going, both locally and globally. And we are to go. And I want to challenge you, church family, this week, let's go. Follow the instructions. Let's go. In our going, let's make disciples. Step out. Next, second instruction is step up. Don't just step out, but step up. Up, that word baptizing. What is baptism? Think about baptism. What's baptism? Baptism is a public declaration. Baptism is what we are. We are confessing publicly what Christ has done in us inwardly, right? That's what it is. We're identifying with Christ. We're saying, I'm a child of God. Now, if you've never stepped up and been baptized as a follower of Jesus, we have a baptism service coming up on Easter Sunday. We would love to do that on Easter Sunday with you. But here's the point of baptism. Baptism is a step of obedience. It's a step up to say, hey, I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. And really, baptism, it is a one-time public declaration. But listen, this is something we should be doing on a daily basis right here. Each of us, if we're going to follow Christ's instructions every day in our workplace, in our school, on our campus, at the gym, we have an opportunity to both step out and step up. and say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be bold in my faith. And I'm going to demonstrate with my words and my actions what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then last but not least, what's the third instruction? We step out, we step up, and then third, we step in. Step out, step up, step in. Listen, all of us in the room, if we want more of what we saw God doing in Togo, each of us must step in. Each of us must step in. And the way we step in so that disciples will move forward with the mission is we as a church family must be committed to both learning and growing and teaching and training. We always want to be learning and growing, but we also want to be teaching and training. Every one of us, mindset, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to teach, and I want to train. One of the verses that the Lord drew my attention to this week is, as I was in Togo, a verse I came across is Job chapter 42, verse 5. Job 42, verse 5 says this, I had heard reports about you. Listen to this. I had heard reports about you. I had heard about the name of God. And then it says this, but now my eyes have seen you. Is that good? I have heard reports, Job says. In the midst of his trials, I've heard reports about this kind, gracious, merciful, compassionate God. But then he says, but now my eyes have seen you. Meaning, I've experienced you. And it changed him radically. Listen, church family, we need to step in. When you step in, it's not just about hearing. You're going to see. You're going to delight in the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, step in, church family. Step in. If you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you, step into a small group. Step into a small group. I want to encourage you, when we offer our equip classes on Sunday night, I want to encourage all the men in the room, this weekend we have an awesome men's conference. Step in. If any time finances are a barrier to any of these things, let us know. But I want to encourage you, step in, because when you step in, you're going to be trained in sound doctrine. You're going to be better equipped to defend the faith. You're going to be better equipped to disciple others. Notice last but not least, a third commitment we must commit to make. I have a command I must obey. I have instructions I must follow. And then last but not least, this is awesome. I have a promise I must remember. I have a promise I must remember. We have been given a promise in order to help us make disciples. Isn't this good? Because Jesus was 100% God, but 100% man. My oldest son, he told me, I got home this week. He's like, Dad, while you're gone, I've been binge watching The Chosen. And I'm like, what do you think? He's like, it's so cool because I'm understanding the humanity of Jesus just a little bit more. And Jesus was a real person. And everything that you struggle with, the author of Hebrews says that he struggled with. He experienced life the same way that you and I experience life. He knows, listen, that bill that you aren't really sure how you're going to pay this week, like Jesus had to deal with financial problems. Jesus lost loved ones. He wept when his best friend Lazarus died. Everything that you and I experience humanly, Jesus, he experienced. He knows hardship. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? And we've been learning this in our series, At the Feet of Jesus, that we'll get back to next week. But listen, Jesus knows the hardships of the mission. He knows the hardships of the mission. And that's why the Holy Spirit has taken up residency within every Christian who has repented of their sin and called on the name of the Lord Jesus as Savior. We have power now. And we must remember this promise that Jesus reminds us of. He says, behold. He's like, take note. That's what that word behold means. Take note. Pay close attention to this. Because when you're in the mission, you're going to be struggling with confidence issues. You're going to be struggling to step out and step up and step in. And that's why he says, behold. And let me just interject here. Take note. Pay close attention. He says, I am with you always. I am with you always. The one who has authority over heaven and earth. He's like, I'm with you always. There isn't a day that the presence of Jesus Christ isn't by your side when you step out, step up, and step in. And at Vertical Church, listen, church family, if we are going to accomplish the mission that we have been given to make more and better disciples, and by disciple, I mean what? Love selflessly, live sacrificially, and lead strategically. If we're going to make quality disciples like that, that's on that church wall, we need to remember this promise. My question for you this morning, my challenge for you, and I know you didn't get to go to Togo, many of you, but my question for you is simply this. Will you commit to the Christ Commission? We have an amazing Savior. My heart's desire is that we will tell more people about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords so that people who are far from Jesus might come to know Jesus. Let me pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for touching our hearts with the gospel. God, we ask that you might touch more hearts. We ask for those who are working even right now in Togo, Lord, will you empower them to point people to Jesus? Will you transform lives? Lord, will you give Josh and Ashley and the rest of the team just much wisdom as they seek to fulfill this commission? But God, we also ask that help us to never think that it's just our job to give so that others can do what we're supposed to be doing here locally. Lord, I pray for my own heart. I pray for my own life. I pray for the hearts and lives of each one that's here. Lord, help us to get serious about Christ's commands so that we can grow the kingdom of God, all for his glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.